Hey, folks, with tomorrow being Thanksgiving, I'm so glad that you're taking these moments to join us. Yeah, we've been actually taking a look at the parables, and we're still going to do that, but we're going to take a little bit of a break. We're going to take this week off because I want to talk about something that's very, very important, particularly as we head into this time that we know of as Thanksgiving. So what I want you to do is grab your Bible, turn it to Acts chapter 16, and I'll see you right back here in just a moment. Hey folks, we want to welcome you to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I trust and pray that your day has gone well. Most of us are probably trying to get prepared for the big turkey tomorrow and maybe having family around. Some are even going to be traveling. So I want to thank you for taking these moments to join us here on this Wednesday to take a look in the scriptures. And as I mentioned just a moment ago, we're going to be taking a little bit of a break from the situation of going through the different parables that we've been looking at. But today I want us to look at some passages out of Acts chapter 16. And we want to look at some ways to be thankful. And I think that this passage could teach each and every one of us a lot. I know that most of you are probably going to be familiar with this passage, but yet there are some points that we need to be reminded of quite often as we look through it. So look with me, if you would, Acts chapter 16. We're going to begin reading at verse 23. That's Acts chapter 16, beginning with verse 23. It says, "And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Verse 26, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all of the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, 'Do yourself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.' Then they spoke the words of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And they took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all of his household." Will you pray with me? Father, as we come to you right now, we're grateful and thankful for this opportunity that you give us to gather around your word. And Lord, I'm thankful for the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I just pray that you will help us to have the proper perspective. Lord, as not only as we head into this Thanksgiving holiday, but Lord, also as we go through each and every day of our lives, these characteristics and principles that we will learn today are applicable each and every day, not just one time of the year. So Lord, help us to hear your spirit and help us to have the right heart when it comes down to dealing with situations that are in our lives. Lord, truly today, help us to be thankful. Lord, bless me as your servant for these moments. Help me, Father, to lift you up high that you might truly draw all men unto you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we look at this particular passage, it's probably one that is very, very familiar. And, you know, we can think about people in our day and age, and many people will invest in stocks and bonds. Did you catch that little play on words there? Thanksgiving in stocks and bonds, when we're talking about Paul and Silas, a little bit of a different kind of stocks and bonds is what they were in. But there are people today, and they've invested all of their hope in some sort of financial gain. Their futures rest on their investments. They're just, you know, hoping that, hey, I'm going to put this in here and it's going to, you know, make me more money. It's going to make me a wealthy person. And by the way, I'm not sitting there saying that's a bad thing or a foolish thing to do, but when it becomes everything to you, when you put it before God, then you make it a God. And what happens is oftentimes you'll see people like this that when the market's having a good day, that they're in a really good mood. And then when the stock market's down, they're not in such a good mood. And so their mood kind of rises and falls with whatever the market may be. Now, when we sit here and we think about Paul and Silas, they had been out there, they were serving the Lord, they were preaching the gospel. And Paul and Silas had a more lasting investment, as it were. You see, what happened was Paul and Silas had sold out to the Savior. Yeah, I still think and ponder that particular saying that I heard many years ago growing up. I can't remember exactly who it was. Obviously not original to me, but it was one of those statements that said, you know, we have yet to see what God can do with just one man who is totally sold out to Him. And really that kind of makes you ponder, and it makes you wonder, as the old boy says, what could God do when He has people that are just really sold out to Him? And Paul and Silas had done that. See, they had invested their lives in the service of the Savior, and they were expecting an external dividend. And when I say an external dividend, I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about the kingdom of heaven. So not only was it an external dividend, it was an eternal dividend. And that's what they had put pretty much all of their marbles in that particular one little bag. You and I should be the same way. We should do the same thing. They had stocks and bonds as they were in the Philippian prison. It said that essentially when they were told about what Paul and Silas had done, this Philippian jailer actually carried them into the inner part of the prison, which would have been the most secure. But it said that he also put them in the chains, and he put them in stocks so that he would ensure that they would not get away. Now, let me give you a little point of history. Most of you probably already know this, but for a prisoner to have escaped under a watchman's watch, the penalty of that was death. Now, you heard and read this story, but that's going to become something that's very important here in just a few moments. But when we think about Paul and Silas, you know, how could these persecuted preachers be thankful? They had been, essentially captured. They had been beaten. They had been whipped across the back. And if you've ever seen any evidence of what's that's like, they had stripes across their back where the flesh had been peeled back. They were probably bleeding. And I sat there and wondered what that must have been like. I mean, Paul and Silas could have sat back and said, you know what, Lord, we're doing what you want us to do. You have called us to go out and preach the gospel, but now look at us. You know, where were you when they put those stripes on our back? Where were you when they took custody of us? And where are you now as we're sitting in the middle of this prison? That's what Paul and Silas could have had going through their mind. Often that's what goes through our mind. When we're in the middle of circumstances and when we're in the middle of situations, all of a sudden we sit back and say, well, God, where are you? You know, God never promised us that it was going to be an easy road as we follow Him. But let's take a little closer look at Paul and Silas, and let's kind of look at what they were thankful for. Because when we start off in this particular passage, and let me carry you back to it, and that's what I said, verse 23 says, and when they had laid many stripes on them, they had been beaten. Their back was probably gushing with blood. It said they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Verse 24 is the result of that. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Now, what did they do? Did they complain? Did they start raising all kinds of fuss in there? Did they get the prisoner stirred up? No. Verse 25 says this: says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. So no, they weren't asking God where He was. They weren't sitting back saying, you know, how did we get ourselves in this mess? No, what they did was they prayed, and it says that they sang hymns. Could you imagine being in their position and being essentially sitting there singing hymns and praising God? You've just been beaten, you've just been thrown into prison, and yet that's what you're doing. Now, I want us to pause for just a moment, because I know that most of us are probably thinking about some circumstances and situations in our lives, even right now. Or we can look back over circumstances and situations, and we can see how we acted or reacted in the midst of those situations. Now, if you're like me and most other people, you will sit back and say, okay, I didn't handle that so well. Yeah, I was one of those people that was hollering for God, where are you, God? How come you've left us in the middle of this mess? And where have you gone? You know, sometimes I have to kind of hang my head in shame because I've been there. Yeah, how tough is it in the middle of the circumstances of your life to sing praises to God, realizing that He's got your best interest at heart, number one. Number two, He's never going to leave your side, so He knows exactly what you are going through. And then the third thing is that He is going to protect you through the storm. I like that old expression that says, God never told us He would make all of our storms go away, but He said and promised that He would be with us through each and every one of those storms. So at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and they sang hymns and praises to the Father. They praised God because He had saved them from sin. Now I want you to pay careful attention to that. It wasn't about the circumstances that they were in right at that moment. It wasn't about what was going on around them or in their periphery. It was because God had saved them from their sins. You and I, as believers, have that same joy, or should have that same joy. Man, look at what God has saved us from. We should not be downcast. We should not be downhearted. We should not let the circumstances of the day make the difference in how we act and react, not only to other people, but especially to God. You know, I preached about it for years and years, about that thing called circumstantial faith. And circumstantial faith means that you're position with God rises and falls with your ever-changing circumstances. God didn't call us to that. You know, so when you're in the midst of the toughest trials, you should still have the same joy. You should still have the same love for God and the same adoration to Him, rather than sitting back trying to squirm around. Now, folks, like I said before, I realize that not all these situations that you and I go through, obviously, they're not joyous. But the thing about it is, in the middle of those bad circumstances, can you be like Paul and Silas and just thank God for salvation? Just thank God that He saved you through Jesus, His Son. So they praise God because He had saved them from sin, but they praise God for what He had made, for the fact that He had made salvation possible through Jesus Christ. You know, how could they praise God after being beaten for their faith? That's what verse 23 tells us, that they had been beaten because of their faith. Most people would try to cower and slink on home and say, well, I'm never going to do that again. Well, no, what they did was they remembered that Christ had been beaten for them. I like what a passage in Isaiah chapter 53 says, that He was wounded for our transgressions and He was bruised for our iniquities, and it is by His stripes that we are healed. So you see, folks, like Jesus, they had been imprisoned for doing what was good and doing what was right. So many times I sit back and I wonder to myself and I think, golly Pete, man, look at what Jesus did. Everywhere He went, He was doing good for people. Everywhere that He went, you know, He brought joy to folks. He brought healing to those. And yet, even when He was doing that, people wanted Him to leave. They didn't want Him to essentially be around, or the townsfolks or the power people, as it were. They're like, oh man, thank you for stopping by. Could you move on down the highway? Could you get on going? But like Jesus, you know, they had been in prison for doing what was good and doing what was right. They might even face death as they sat in prison. They didn't know what the outcome of the trial was going to be at that particular point. But they remembered that Jesus had faced the cross for them. How many times do we remember that Jesus faced the cross? He faced death for each and every one of us. And I always like to say it this way. If you were the only person in the world, Jesus still would have gone to Calvary's cross just for you. You see, their prison cell was dark, but Jesus had died for them on dark Calvary. And boy, what a thing to think about, particularly in the midst of going through some tough and some troubled times. So not only were they thankful for what God had done, but they were also thankful for what God was doing. See, they knew God was at work in their lives. I love it when you can sit back and you can pinpoint where God is working in your life, or the thing that He is doing. I always like what Henry Blackaby wrote in the Experiencing God study, when he said, you know what? He said, the thing to do is find out where God is working and go join Him. You know, what is God doing in your life? How's He drawing you close to Him? How is He stretching your faith? You know, I often like to say that one of the things that I like to make comparable is that a new believer is like a young, a skinny little fellow that's never been in a gym a day in his life. When he walks into the gym, you know, he's not going to be pressing a whole lot of weight on that barbell when he first starts off. And as he begins to try to work out with what weight he can work out with, he gets extremely sore, man. Those muscles begin to ache. And really the way that muscle is formed is actually they kind of tear, and then they mend themselves back bigger and bigger and bigger. And you've seen some of those people that just have those gigantic muscles. Well, before long, this little rabby old guy that could barely pick the bar up when he walked in there, a couple of years later, you see him, and he's got muscles popping out all over the place. Well, spiritual growth is a lot like that as well. And I always like what a fella said one time. I heard at a conference, and he said, if you're ever going to get strong, you have to pick up something heavy. And that is true in your physical body, and it is also true in your spiritual life. So if you're going to get strong, you got to pick up something heavy. Well, I'd be willing to say that what Paul and Silas were going through was pretty heavy. You see, they were thankful for what God not only had done, but what God was doing. And they knew that God had called them to that particular place. Man, it is such a joy when you have that opportunity to understand and know that you are exactly in the will of God, that you are exactly where He wants you to be. That doesn't mean that troubled times won't come. That won't mean that hardships will not come. That doesn't mean that the storms won't come. But there is peace and there is joy in knowing that you are where God wants you to be, where He's called you to be, and doing what it is that He wants you to do. Pastor David has always said around here, there are two kinds of people in this world, those that are in the will of God and those that wish they were. So they were grateful for what God was doing in their life. They had witnessed conversions as a result of being there. In other words, their revival meetings, as it were, had been productive. People were coming to know our Savior, and they had a very fruitful ministry there. They had seen the demon-possessed fortune teller delivered over there in verse 18. You know, they could be thankful knowing that they were in the center of God's will. Can you be thankful for that today? Just knowing that you were right in the center of God's will. And what a great place to be, regardless of the circumstances that are going on around you. You know, are you thankful for where you are? Now, I know that some of you all probably thought, man, I can't stand being where I am. I can't stand being in my job. I don't like my neighborhood. I don't like my coworkers. Well, listen, that's real easy to sit back and pinpoint all the things that you don't like. But what about all the things that God is doing that are a blessing in your life? Are you thankful for where you are? Now, I want to also kind of bring up about the question of, not only are you thankful for where you are you where you're supposed to be? Are you where God has called you to be? Are you in the position to be exactly where God wants you to be so that He can use you for His honor and for His glory? Sometimes God allows us to be uncomfortable in a certain place so He can move us to the place where He wants us to be. You know, even if you're going through troubled times, are you thankful for the Lord? Are you thankful for where you are? Okay, there are two life-changing options that when it comes to this circumstance, this was true for Paul and Silas, and it is also true for you and I. What are these two life-changing options that we have? First of all, we can focus on what God is doing, and we can be thankful for that. Look around you and see what God is doing. And like Henry Blackaby said, go join Him where that is. Look and see what He's doing in your life. Is He growing you? You know, are you getting close to Him? Is He speaking to you in a way through His Word and through your prayers and through circumstances and through messages in the church or maybe in your small groups that are helping you along the way, that are nurturing you, that are guiding you? Because the Lord's Word and His will is going to do that. So the first thing we can do is we can either focus on what God is doing and we can be thankful for that, or option number two, we can focus on what the devil is doing and be miserable. You know, you have a choice. Perspective is a huge thing. If you sit back and pinpoint all the different things that are wrong, it can make you a flat-out miserable person. One of the things I've always said is one of my favorite old hymns, and some of y'all may still remember the old hymns, and I hope and pray that some of you still sing them. But there was one of them that was called Count Your Blessings. Do you remember that? It said, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. So when you get into those circumstances and situations, start counting your blessings. Maybe you're in a situation and you really need to start counting your blessings out loud. You can say, Lord, thank you for my family. Thank you, Lord, for the roof over my head. Thank you for the shoes on my feet. Yeah, thank you for the food on the table. Thank you for an automobile to be able to drive to get to work. Lord, thank you for the job that you've given me. There are countless, countless, countless things that you can thank God for and change your perspective from being miserable. Stop focusing on what old Satan's doing. Stop being miserable in the middle of that and start focusing on what God is doing and thank him for that. You see, not only were they thankful for what God had done, they were thankful for what God was doing, and they were thankful for what God was going to do in the future. It said that they prayed and believed. Now, this was talking about the Philippian jailer. Now, there are so many things that can come from this. And remember, as we started off our Bible study, I told you about what happened, that when Paul and Silas began to pray and they began to sing their songs, it said that there was a great earthquake. And it essentially shook the stocks loose. It shook all of the, we'll just call them cells, and shook all the security loose. Even the main exterior door had been shaken loose. And when this Philippian jailer went out and he saw that, it said that the scripture tells us that he was taking his sword and he was going to end his life because he knew that the penalty for an escaped prisoner would be that he would be killed anyway. So as he takes out his sword, he prepares to kill himself. He hears the voice of Paul, and he says, hey, look, don't do that. Don't take your own life. We are all still here. Not just Paul and Silas. We are all still here. Every one of the prisoners, they had the chance. The cell doors were open. They could have gone out, but they stayed. Because they were sitting there watching Paul and Silas. You know, I have a feeling, we can't prove that in our text today, but I have a feeling that they became a viable part of that prayer meeting that night. I have a feeling that their lives were changed as well, because instead of just getting up and running out to freedom, they stayed there. They stayed behind. And I love what it was that Paul said to him. Paul didn't just say, Silas and I are still here. He said, all of us are still here. And this jailer, surprised by that, says, went and got a light. He goes in, he looks, and I'm sure that he was probably sitting there going, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He was probably counting the people to make sure that they were all there. And then when the attendance came back, that there was 100% in attendance, you know, it blew his mind. He just didn't know how to think about that. But he knew that there was something different about Paul and Silas. And it talks about how they had the opportunity to preach the word to them. And this Philippian jailer even begs the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to be saved? And they were given the keys to the kingdom, as it were, when Paul and Silas said, yeah, you believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross and rose again for your sins, and you shall be saved. And it says that something else interesting took place. It said that after that happened, that Philippian jailer took Paul and Silas to his house, and it says that he treated those wounds that were on their backs, probably gave them something to eat along the way, but all of his household heard the gospel message that evening, had trusted the Lord, and it says in that very night they were baptized. Now, again, I always like to point out something. Baptism does not equal salvation. Baptism is an act of obedience following salvation. So make sure we get that clear. There's often I'll have people come to me and say, well, preacher, I want to get baptized. And I'll be like, okay, well, tell me why you want to be baptized. They're like, well, because I don't want to go to hell. And I said, well, baptism doesn't prevent you from going to hell. A relationship with Jesus prevents you from going to hell. So often there's a lot of conversation. You would not believe how many people today believe that it is some act that we can do that saves us. I want to remind you, the word tells us that we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But now that doesn't mean that you should trust Jesus and not be baptized. That's an act of obedience, and the Lord wants us to be obedient to Him. So Paul and Silas were thankful for, you know, what God had done in the past, what God was doing in their presence, and then also what God would do in the future. And you see what took place with the Philippian jailer. You know, and here's the thing. See, they prayed. He and his family prayed and believed. We can pray and believe and receive. We can pray and doubts can go away. In the middle of your situation, are you praying about it? And I mean fervently praying about it, not just throwing up a prayer and saying, "Oh Lord, will you do this?" and not expecting Him to do so. But I mean really being involved in your relationship with the Master. Okay? See, God rewarded their prayers and rewarded their praising, even as they were in the middle of the stocks and bonds, as it were. You know, see, the earth quaked and those prison doors opened, and they were free, yet they didn't go. They stayed right in the middle of God's will. You know, see, God's going to do some wonderful things for all believers. And sometimes what happens is people say, "Well, how did I ever get here?" Well, I don't know, but I want to tell you this. Why don't you look around where you are? Because there's a good chance that God can use you right where you are. I love that old expression, bloom where you're planted. You know, you may have even taken a wrong turn. God can still use you where you are if you will allow Him to do so. You know, how two thankful prisoners, you know, brought others to Christ in the middle of crisis. You know, sometimes, God would have had to have gotten them somehow to that prison to be able to reach that jailer. And I believe with all my heart that the Lord already had that jailer's heart prepared for that meeting. It was a chance meeting for Paul and Silas, but it wasn't really a chance meeting. It had all been lined up by God the Father. You see, the jailer and his family came to faith in Christ, and others also believed and met with Paul and Silas to rejoice. You can see that a little bit later on down there in verse 40. So thankful living can bring others to eternal life. I know I've seen that even displayed in the lives of people that I've known, and I've known the circumstances or the situations that they're going through. And sometimes I sit back and I say, man, I don't understand how you can have the good attitude that you have. I don't understand how you just don't snap with all this pressure that's on you. And then I sit back and say, yeah, I do. I know the answer to that question. It's because they're relying on the Lord to carry them through that. Most of us have seen that the old footprint about, or the old poem about footprints on the sand. And it says that a man through his life looked back and he said he always saw the two sets of footprints, except in the most troubled times of his life. And he said in the most troubled times of his life, he only saw one set of footprints. And, you know, initially he's like, well, Lord, how come that in those troubled times of my life, I only saw one set of footprints? Where were you? And then the response of the Lord is, well, it was during those times that I carried you. So the footprints that the man actually saw were the Lord's as the Lord carried him through the circumstances and situations. So you know what? As we think about Thanksgiving, what are we thankful for? Not only for tomorrow as we will gather around with family and, you know, eat some big meals of turkey and ham or chicken, whatever else you may have as part of your family tradition, but what are you really, truly thankful to God for? Will you lift up your voices in praise to Him? Will you sing those songs and hymns? Will you count your blessings? Will you sit back and say, yeah, as you look around those tables and you see those family members, will you be able to say, Lord, thank you for those that are here today? And you know what? It's going to be a tough Thanksgiving for a lot of folks as well. And part of the reason why is because there are going to be people that won't be at the table that were at the table last year. And it's going to be kind of heart-wrenching. But you know what? As a believer, if you know that they were a believer, we can rejoice knowing they're going to have the best Thanksgiving ever. And I pray and trust that you and I will do the same. I think every time we come into Thanksgiving season, I'm reminded of Pastor Webster, who pastored a church right up the street from Central Baptist in Oak Ridge. He was pastor of First Baptist Church. And he's with the Lord right now. But I still remember him preaching a Thanksgiving message one time. And I thought, how true this is when he said, you know, when I can't utter a word. You know, when I'm so overwhelmed that I can't even speak, he says, and when I can't say a word, I just wave my hand. And the Lord knows. The Lord understands that. Give thanks to the Father. Can you do that not only tomorrow during Thanksgiving, but could you make that a habit for the rest of your life? I hope and pray that you can, and I know that God is going to change you. And maybe even like Paul and Silas, even when your back's bleeding, even when things haven't turned out the way that you want them to, and even when life seems like it's completely upside down, start counting your blessings and start thanking God. And I promise you that your perspective, if you do it, if you truly do that, then your whole perspective can and will change when you start being thankful to the Father. Let me go ahead and tell you about what we're going to be looking at next week. We're going to go ahead and start back into our parables next week, and we're going to look at the parable of the three servants that were given talents, and that's going to be coming out of the book of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. So I want you to read Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25 this week, and then we will look at essentially the parable of the talents as we gather together, same time next week. Would you look to the Lord in a word of prayer with me? Father, as we come to you now, we're grateful and we are thankful. Lord, we don't just say that and pay homage to you with lip service by saying we're grateful and thankful. Lord, we know what we have been saved from, and we know that you have a plan for our lives. And when things don't seem like they're going our way, Lord, help us to always remember it's not about our plan, but it's about your plan. May we truly be about your business. And Lord, along the way, may we truly be like Paul and Silas. May we truly lift up our voices in song and Lord, just sing praise and worship to you and pray like we've never prayed before. Lord, help us to strengthen our relationship as we go forward together. Lord, I know that there'll be a lot of folks that are going to be meeting with family, some tonight. And then there'll be, Lord, those tomorrow that will meet with family. Some will be traveling. I pray that you'll watch over them. And, Lord, I pray that during those times and moments that they might magnify you and that they might truly give thanks for the many, many blessings that you have provided in their lives. So, Lord, we do ask this prayer in the precious name of our Savior and your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, folks, listen, I want to thank you once again for joining us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We'd love to invite you to come and be a part of services that we have. Our Sunday morning services start at 10:45 a.m. That's the worship service. We do have some discipleship opportunities through Sunday school that morning as well. We have a 6 o'clock p.m. Bible study on Sunday nights with Pastor David. And then, of course, we have Awana for the kids, and we have so many other opportunities for discipleship. We have some small groups you can be a part of. I would love for you to come by and visit with us to worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. And if you do drop by, please introduce yourself to me and say, hey, look, I just wanted to let you know I see you on the Wednesday night Bible study, and I just wanted to come shake your hand. I'd love to see you. So please join us this coming Sunday, 10:45 a.m. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful week and a wonderful Thanksgiving.